So that forefront theater is part of this structure of class and the redesign of our interiors. And we have a lot more to say on that score now that we have engaged in a process of synthesis and advancement of the insights provided by key ancestors and living scholars whose work in sum and conjunction exposes the reality of hidden power. The philosopher king statesman, the global state, power guys in place, the ones who hide, who coalesced in the aftermath of the French Revolution as what was then called the middle class, a self-conscious group of meritocratic, self-anointed rulers that we have been calling Plato's tribesmen. Now that we see these guys through their acts, the massive mischief made with their amassed wealth, our common resources picked and pocketed and safely deposited in their hidden boxes, we have a much better understanding of all that is included in the phrase, the structure of class itself. In recent shows, we've been trying to grasp how it was that training in obedience came to be viewed as simply a mode of thought, as almost a cultural achievement, an evolution of the human, most egregiously, also known as, quote-unquote, civilization. And this pinpoints, I think, the difficulty we've been having gathering together our ethical resources globally and determining to move on. Because as Kropotkin says, when we have but the will to do it, that very moment will justice be done. That very instant, the tyrants of the earth shall bite the dust. And that's from an appeal to the young, included in the Kropotkin PDF I've posted to the blog page, so please check it out. A difficulty captured in Kropotkin's use of this word tyrant, because while there's no doubt the word fits for our current crop of power-besotted men, they would deny that it applies to them. And in truth, they are a breed apart from the power-lustful kings, priests, and capitalists, the guys Kropotkin meant by the word tyrant, of which he wrote. These new power guys, by going into hiding, by inventing child-rearing, and by using Plato for self-justification and guidance, rewrote the terms of the class struggle, such that it gave us no purchase. When we tried to engage, it became our cage. Whatever we seized became our own collar and leash. And not enough of us could see that what we were wrestling with was a global system that was totalitarian. If it sounds contradictory to say both that it is through our open tribes, our associations, that we coalesce into global mobilizations to end the class system, establish our non-coercive alternative and continuously reproduce it, and that the basic unit of political organization is the individual, even acknowledging Kropotkin's point that we freely associate in our associations, i.e. that our associations are a collaboration of soul-sufficient beings. It's because we have few models of our collaborative, non-coercive planning design that most of us can see. Peter saw it in the Jura Mountains, for example, in the craftspeople whose communities dotted it, and of course in the Paris Commune. And although we can point to contemporary instances, moments really, of it in the Egyptian Revolution and its numerous offspring, including the Occupy movement, we haven't yet, as a people, applied the lessons of these examples to a process of thinking and planning globally for the world we want. It seemingly hasn't occurred to us the truth of what Kropotkin knew so many decades ago, that we already do this, that it's already us that lavishes on the earth our love. It certainly doesn't come from the statesmen who, raised utilitarian, have no use for reverence for the earth, have no use for love, at least not the love we speak of from the people's definitions. There is not one square inch of our precious earth that some folk in free association do not love and try to take care of, despite the global state statesmen. We will be attempting to synthesize and advance the argument on the mode of thought of class discussed in our September 20, 2015 show, a synthesis applied specifically to our current challenge of seeing the decentralized structure of our global alternative based in non-coercion, freely developing individualities, soul sufficiency, and cooperative associations, particularly in light of the current crisis for power, opportunity for us, of insufficient resources to maintain its global hierarchical system, with their tiny souls at the top of the heap and their butts in the say-so seat. On this last point, please consider, not their butts, but the resource shortages juncture we are at. On this last point, please consider this editorial comment from our Kropotkin PDF, a comment in the section excerpting from his essay, An Appeal to Youth. The pressing quality of the argument Kropotkin is here making, appealing to professors and students to stand with we the people. The pressing quality hasn't gotten any less so. If anything, it seems our crisis of empathy under class is worsening. So hard to know for certain when we don't have our own means of discussing these things, our intercommunications being filtered, diluted, and massaged. The consequence of powers intentionally separating and stratifying us, shattering our essential unity. But it didn't look that way in 1968. A time when young people globally had seen through all the false divisions states use to separate us. 68 serves as a reminder of hope for us, of caution for power, that the earth works on us all, calls us to freedom, but especially calls to the youth, so recently sprung from her bowers. His analysis should, however, be updated to reflect our current situation of power's depletion of our common planetary resources. These last three paragraphs in that Kropotkin PDF I was quoting, I'm referring to in this comment, are definitely discussion worthy in this regard. Useful, I think, to dispel the fog enshrouding our relations across the false divisions, the fog of economics that exists to keep us divided. And useful, therefore, for the light they shed by implication on this current moment of resource shortages, this moment in the historical existence of the global order called class, called end power game, the illusions, cons, propaganda that the global state statesmen promulgate to maintain their control have depended not just on our atomization and hierarchical ordering, i.e. our separation from and misconceptions about each other, on our not meeting each other and as a result then working together, but also on sufficient planetary resources to maintain the stratification, to placate some with better stuff and cause resentment toward them in the designated lessers. This requirement of their control, that there be lessers, is most critical for those economic areas on the backs of which the weight of the entire system rests: food, water, clothing, and electronic technology. And power's historical solution, which is to attempt to make its stratification of us still more rigid through geographical separation, the hierarchical ordering of nations and regions, is becoming expensive. What might be a useful discussion, given this, useful for our planning purposes, would be to consider the implications of the immense environmental and economic crises facing us. The fact that geographic separation presents problems for power right now due to the increasing costs of everything, not the least of which being the cost of we the people, ever striving for better lives, and even striving to own our own lives, at precisely the time when power can least afford to give, quote-unquote, this. And then, of course, there's the internet.